All right, you guys can go ahead and be seated here this morning. And I just wanted to make mention real quickly before we hop into God's Word, but our pastor is away. So if you are visiting here this morning, I like to always say give it 2 or 3 weeks and make sure that you come back and give us another try next week and the next week and then in 6 months and just keep coming back. But we love that you're here with us this morning, and we're excited to see what God has for each and every one of us this morning. Last week was I Love My Church Sunday. And there's a lot of things that I love about High Street Baptist Church, and I could go on and on and on about High Street Baptist Church and what it has meant for me and my family. And that's honestly reflecting on the day last week and what God did and the visitors and just the vibrancy, how a pastor opens the Word of God on a weekly basis and gives us the Bible on a weekly basis. That is why I love this church. I love for what it stands on. I love for what it believes. And I believe that we're going somewhere. And I can wholeheartedly get behind that. So this morning, I want to talk to you about a church rooted in Him. A church rooted in Him. If you will, go with me to Colossians chapter 2. It's going to be kind of our launching pad here this morning. We're going to read a couple verses, and then we'll get to our text. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6, the Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Those are our verses for Rooted Student Ministries, and we dive into those on a weekly basis, being rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. Because contrary to whether or not you understand, our world is looking to spoil us through philosophy and vain deceit. They are looking to manipulate us. They don't like truth. And so, if you go with me now to our text, to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to pick up reading in verse number 11, and we'll hop into this morning. It says, "And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers." Why? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Lord, we love You. We need Your presence. We need Your power. I pray, Lord, that You would completely take over here this morning. I pray that the verses will penetrate our hearts, and I pray that we will get alone with You in our thoughts and allow Your Word to penetrate our lives. That way we can be a church that is rooted 100% solely in You. That way we can be a people that are 100% rooted in Jesus Christ. Lord, go with us now throughout this time. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. Any sincere Christian desires to know the will of God for their life. They desire to understand what career path they should take. They desire to know where they should potentially go to college. And they desire to know how to run their family and the home. But ultimately, our goal as Christians is to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18 says this. It says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be both glory now and forever. Amen." Today we are going to look at and discuss how the Bible, the local church, is designed to grow us as a body, as a believer. The first thing I want us to look at is the path of growth. The path of growth that is set before us. You see, the Apostle Paul, he was one of who led the charge in this thing. He went out on missionary journeys all throughout Asia Minor and into Europe, and God used Paul to lead this way. And when we see in this book of Ephesians, he's on his third missionary journey, and in this city, he began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He begins to challenge the individuals. There were men and women that were rooted in the goddess Diana, and that's who they were getting their ideologies from and believing all of their things from. So years later, he wrote to the church of Ephesus, and he was continuing challenging them to grow in Jesus Christ. He was challenging them how to do that. And he explains to them that their growth would specifically be being rooted in the Bible, being rooted in God's word, being rooted in the apostles' doctrine. And so we must impart God's word. If you look at verse number 11 there, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." And if you look there, the word, when we are trying to impart the gospel, is coming from somebody individually. And in that verse, it dissects apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so when you look at the qualifications of an apostle, it'd kind of be hard to meet the qualifications today, because an apostle had to have a call from Christ himself. And Jesus had many different apostles all throughout the gospel. He specifically called 12. But in Galatians chapter 1:1, it mentions there, and it tells us that Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. But then an apostle must have seen the resurrected Christ. They must have witnessed it. And so Acts chapter 1:21-22, it talks about this. It says, "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us at all time, the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness of his resurrection." You see, these men had accompanied Christ and went in among them, beginning from the baptism of John. And Paul shares his specific account of witnessing the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 9:1, he says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am unto you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord." The apostles were greatly needed in the early church. They were needed to get to where we are today. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Have you ever considered why we stand here after hundreds of years and we're continuing in the Bible? We're continuing in doing what Christ has commanded us to do as the local church. Well, the apostles led the way. They were continuing steadfastly in what Christ taught. And so the apostles were a part of the foundation of the church. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 20, it puts it this way. It says, "And are built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." You see, the church that we have today, the ideologies that we have, the doctrine that we have, are not just a board of individuals sitting here in 2023 coming up with ideas. We are continuing in the apostles' doctrine. And so it's important that we understand that. If we're going to be a church that continues in this generation, if our children have something to continue in their generation, we must stand in God's word. We must continue in the apostles' doctrine, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Apostles were only supplying the teaching and commandments that Jesus gave unto them. You look at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, unto the day which ye have taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." It's interesting to think about this, because the apostles were vital, but also the prophets were vital. A prophet is a spokesperson. It's an individual who is a spokesperson specifically for God. 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21, this is how we received our Bible. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecies came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hey, we have our word of God today, complete. It doesn't need any changes. It's 100% complete because of prophecy. It was given to man. The word of God is complete, so we too today can receive revelation from God. If you look at verse number 19 in the same passage of scripture, it says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and until this day star arise in your hearts. Although the office of apostles and prophets were temporary, God still uses them to propagate God's word today. And we have leaders who impart scriptural teachings in the church today. They received it through evangelists and teachers. If you go back to that list, it talks about evangelists and teachers. Evangelists are those who bring good tidings. They might be a missionary, a traveling preacher. And so there are pastors and teachers. A pastor is an under-shepherd. And his clear expectation is written out for us in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, where it tells us, it says, take heed thereunto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made the overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Hey, I'm just thankful for a pastor that faithfully gets up and preaches God's word and studies God's word and takes the time to feed us on a weekly basis. Because the reality is, there is a world outside these four walls that does not like that, that wants nothing to do with that. And we need to be thankful for that. And the responsibility of a pastor is to oversee the flock. Spiritual growth only takes place by imparting God's truth. Imagine if we had God's word. Imagine if the apostles and prophets had God's word. Imagine if we today, as preachers and teachers, have God's word and we don't do anything with it. We completely seal it. We close it. Our meetings are centered around ideas, nothing to do with God's word. How does God's word go on? How do our kids understand the truths that are rooted in God's word? You see, every single decision in a church should be centered around God's word. Every single idea should be centered around God's word. And once you are a Christian, you'll not grow unless you're receiving God's word. That's why Brother Chad gets up here when he's closing out a service and he'll encourage small groups. It's not for fun. It's not, he doesn't make that announcement just because it's something that we're trying to fill a time slot, but because our pastor sees a vision. Our leadership sees a vision that, hey, we can grow together. We can do life together in these small groups. We're growing together. We're doing life together. This happens in Bible study. It happens getting plugged into a small group. It happens doing family devotions. It happens when you get together with friends at Starbucks or Tim Hortons or Dunkin' Donuts or whatever your preferred coffee place is, centered around God's word. But we must impart God's word. We also must continue in God's truth. Verse number 12 tells us why. It says, for. Why should we impart God's truth? Why should apostles, prophets, preachers, teachers impart God's truth? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Look, God's word lifts us up in so many different areas. And if I only in youth group come up with all kinds of games and fun, and we do bonfires outside every single Wednesday night in the summer and play all kinds of different games, these kids are starving for something deeper than throwing the dodgeball at each other. And sometimes we have to understand that, yeah, those are good. Those are important. And we need those things. But we have to do it all around God's word and God's truth. We are commissioned to do so. And the word perfect means complete furnishing or equipping. The implication here is that the Christian life is not something that we should just put on for church. It's not something that we just come to church and do. If you go back to the very first verse in Ephesians chapter 4, it's our job. It's literally our job to do so. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. If I were to leave here today and go out to lunch with my family, and I were to get in a head-on collision with somebody, and I get in that accident, all I know is I pray for the sake of my wife and my babies that the paramedic that shows up on the scene, that's their vocation. I hope they trained. I hope that they prepared to show up and to administer the proper things that they need to administer to save my wife and my kids, right? And you think about doctors, you think about lawyers, and you think about all these different perspective ministries and jobs and careers that people have. I mean, it's a 4-year career to teach. It's a 4 years undergraduate to become a doctor. And then there's all kinds of schooling after that. Some doctors go 12, 15 years, and then they're finally practicing. But they're walking worthy for the vocation wherewith they are called. But Christian, Paul is challenging us and making a statement that, hey, we're in this Christian life, and we have to get rooted and built up in God's word and equip ourselves to stand in this world, to prepare for the vocation of being a Christian, to understand what it's like to live in this world. And so teaching God's word is the key responsibility of the local church. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, and the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Satan is continually working to tear down the body of Christ. He's not going to give up. He's not going to quit anytime soon. And the reason why we have to equip, the reason why we have to train, is because he's subtle. He's deceptive. He will do things that is crazy and off the wall to manipulate our minds. And so this is extremely important. That's why when Pastor said he was going away and taking some time to rest and recoup, I thought that was absolutely amazing. Because he's constantly pouring into us and investing into us, and he needs time to rest. If you go over just briefly off the top of my mind, this passage came to mind, but Mark chapter 6, if you look at Mark chapter 6 here, we see in this passage, in verse number 28, we'll pick up, it says, and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took to his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Okay, so briefly, a backstory on this passage of scripture. You have John the Baptist, who was beheaded. And he was beheaded, and his disciples, in verse number 21, they came and took his corpse. Okay, so they're going to be approaching Jesus now. In verse number 30, it says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And these people are distressed. John the Baptist, apostles, disciples, they're distressed. They're distraught about the things that have happened. If you look down in verse number 31, it says, and he said unto them, Jesus speaking, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. Look, we have to rest in him. The idea in this passage in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, where it says, come ye unto him and rest, is that, hey, come with me and rest in this desert place. His disciples were discouraged. They were distraught. They were bogged down by the things of the world. Literally, the individual that they had spent their life working alongside and working with, his head was literally on a platter. And they were discouraged. He said, go in the desert and rest for a while. I'm thankful that our pastor gives everything he has week in and week out, and then he can rest. It's important to do so. If you're going to be victorious over the attacks, we have to be edified and built up in the truth. We have to rest from this world. We have to distance ourselves from the things. Any sacrifices you make to be under the teaching and preaching of God's word in the local church will be well worth the fruit that you reap in your life. Hey, is it a sacrifice to get up and get three boys ready in the morning and then get here and perform and do? It is, right? Is it a sacrifice when you're not feeling good and you've been sick most of the week and you finally feel like you're better and then there's a lot of sickness going around? So in our day and age, well, I don't want to get this person sick. There's a lot that goes into being at church, but it's worth the fruit. So the first thing that we see is the path of growth. We must impart God's word. We must continue in his truth. Secondly, the priority of growth. The priority of growth. We must have unity in the faith. We must have a unity in the faith. If you look at this verse, Ephesians 4:13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. The word faith here is referencing the body of Christ. In Jude chapter 1, verse number 3, it tells us, it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful to me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto you. It's just interesting when you think about unity, because unity is something that when you say it, it instantly puts up a trigger in people's minds, right? There's no way we can all be unified. I have this preference, they have that preference, but that's not what we're talking about. It's about being unified for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about putting aside differences that in this earth don't matter for eternal. It's about looking past some disagreements and moving forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. It's about forgiving people and moving forward for the gospel's sake. The strongest unity is possible through truth. And don't we have the greatest truth in all the world? How can we not unify around God's word? How can we not come to 100% definitive conclusions around God's word? Now, there might be definitive conclusions around God's word. Now, there might be things on the news that you see and you have a certain angle or perspective on. I have a certain angle or perspective on. And we can arm wrestle and try to discuss, hey, my opinion's right, no. But when it comes to God's word, it's God's word. And we should be able to, as a church, to settle on that and to move forward because of that. It's not that difficult. It's not that hard. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know how much pettiness goes on behind the scene and how much doesn't get done in the world because of that? Man, imagine if we could all come together and look past some differences and stop talking about certain things and just move on. These verses don't speak of many faiths. They speak of the faith. If you look back at the verses, it speaks of the faith. Scripture brings unity of the faith. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We must have unity in the faith. We also must have the knowledge of Christ. We must have the knowledge of Christ. The second part of that verse there says, and the knowledge of the Son of God. We tend to think oftentimes that the Christian growth is adding more actions to our life. Hey, if I do more, if I show up more, if I perform more. But really, it's about knowing Jesus Christ. It's about having a personal relationship with him. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, we see a powerful verse here. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You see, when you go through stuff in life, does it draw you closer to Christ or do you run? Paul was in prison when he was penning these. He was talking about having a knowledge of Christ on an intimate, personal level because of the things that he went through, because of the trials and difficulties that he had suffered and gone through. Look, a head knowledge is good, and knowing the books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in the order, frontwards to backwards, spell it every which way, I'm happy for you. But do you know Jesus Christ? And when the world hits you, when a boss tells you that your job is gone, how well do you know Jesus Christ? How well do you know him? Colossians 2:2 says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. The priority of growing in Christ is solely so that we can share others with who Jesus is. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look, we must be sharing with others that personal relationship that we know, that we have. We got to go out and share with somebody. We got to go out and tell somebody. That's why the truth and the knowledge of God's word is so important, because we have something that's literally changed our entire eternity. We have something that has turned our world upside down. You know how many people outside these walls don't have that? They think that they can earn their way to heaven. They think that they can do certain things to get there. But there's not salvation in any other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And we have to be diligent in teaching that and working with individuals, meeting individuals with where they're at, meeting them at a coffee bar, working out with them at a gym, whatever it takes, meeting them where they're at until they come to the understanding and to the knowledge. To be people rooted in Christ and to be a bearing fruit church, we must stay on the path of growth. We saw the path of growth. We saw the priority of growth. Lastly, and we'll be done, I want to look at the permanence of growth. The permanence of growth. Verse number 14 says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ. When it comes to growth in Christ, there's no middle ground. We're either growing or we're shriveling. How can we maintain the growth that we've acquired? Our text looks at several different ways. We grow through preparation. We grow through preparation. The first part of verse number 14 says that we henceforth be no more children. Christians who remain spiritually immature are susceptible to pull away and to believe false teachers in this world. They lack the spiritual roots to hold their footing to the truth. This is why Paul cautioned the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. You see, it's important that we know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. Because I'm telling you, there's individuals in this world that will give you something that sounds very similar to the truth. And unless we know what the truth is, 100% sealed in our hearts, then we can believe that. 1 John 2:19 will give us and says, people leave the faith because they were never even saved potentially. It says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. If we want permanence in our growth, we must steadfastly be maturing in our walk with the Lord. So we grow through preparation, but we grow through precaution. The second part of that verse says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I hope we understand this morning that we can't be naive enough to believe everything that's told to us is in good faith, that they have our best intentions in mind. There's a lot of individuals that want us to turn from the truth of God's word. They want us to turn, and they hate truth. They hate individuals that believe truth. 2 Peter 2:1-2 tells us, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth of evil be spoken of." You know, one of the best forms and precautions against this is to be aware of their intentions. When you go into a conversation with an individual, what's their intentions? I was just speaking with an individual on, it was Friday night, and he told me that he went and sat down with somebody and had coffee, and they were right out in the open telling them that they were going to convert them to their belief system. Now, obviously, right then and there, you know what their intentions are. But sometimes it's not that open. It's not that honest. And so when you spend a lot of time debating and going back and forth, hey, point people to the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to penetrate hearts. We're not going to get through to individuals. It turns into an argument and a back and forth match. We have to trust the Lord to speak. We have to allow the Lord to do the work in people's lives and in people's hearts. But we need to take heed. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." If it's doctrine, philosophy, or lifestyle that affirms Jesus Christ is God and he came in the flesh, then it's a spirit of God. That's what the verse says here. And 1 John 4:2-3 goes on and expounds on that. It says, "Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is the Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh and is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world." Hey, be careful when you're dealing with this. We grow through precaution. We grow through perseverance. Grow up into him all things. Verse number 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ." Are you growing? Are we growing? Are we continually growing in the Lord and making sure that our growth is permanent? The things that Brother Kyle or Brother Chad preaches and Pastor preaches on a weekly basis, are we then making that permanent in our hearts? Not because Brother Kyle preached it, not because Brother Chad or Pastor preached it, but because it's what the Word of God says. It's because what His Word is teaching. Are we making that permanent in our lives? 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Hey, the truth which they had been taught, which was found in God's word. Are you standing on the truths that are found in God's word? 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle." Now you hear traditions today and everyone gets in a tizzy, but are we continuing in God's word? Are we continuing in the things that God's word had taught? Is the word of God the main thing? The path of growth for God's people is found in his word, all throughout the pages of his word. And it's the priority that we would take the time as a body of Christ, as a church family, to study that, to understand it, to believe it, to teach others, to work with others on this thing. Growth takes place as we persevere in the foundation of truth. Have you noticed how perfect the local church is for growing in Christ? Have you noticed that God's intended design for growing together as a body was 100% perfect? He makes no mistakes. And so we saw today the path of growth, preaching and teaching God's word, the priority of growth, the unity of other Christians, of growing in Christ, and the permanence of growth and the stability of being a part of the truth of God's word. But Christians, if we're not careful, we can take rabbit trails. and we can get off in the weeds. We can lose track on our daily life. We can lose track of giving diligence to God's word and giving diligence to the priority of the teaching of God's word. We get bored or lazy and we'll fall away from church or allow sin to creep in our lives and we'll function in sin on a daily basis. At this time, if I could have the pianist come, I'm done. But how is High Street Baptist Church doing? In my opinion, I think we're doing amazing. But I want us to continue. Look, one of the things that last week, it was on Tuesday, I was sitting there with Cooper and Graham, and we're on the couch, and Graham and Cooper said to me, he said, Dad, did you know that God is Jesus? And man, that just made me tear up. That just did something for my heart. Because I look out to Miss Amber, and I look out to Mrs. Margaret, and I look up to our children's wing. Hey, they're being faithful to teaching God's word. And my little 4-year-old son gets to reap the benefits of that on a weekly basis. Hey, church family, hey, fellow staff member, we have to stay diligent to God's word. We have to continue to stand on God's word and make sure that we're not getting off in the weeds. I'm all for 100% pushing, having a blast with the teenagers, games and doing, but we need to be teaching them, because just like that, my little 4-year-old boy, he's learning. He's catching on. What he's hearing, I'm glad that my 4-year-old boy doesn't go up to the children's wing on a Sunday morning and play tic-tac-toe for an hour, right? He's learning that Jesus is God. And he's understanding that at a young age. Hey, we have to hold fast to that. We have to take and understand that that is why we're here. That is why we're in Columbus, Ohio, to then bring people from the outside that's never heard that. Think of how many thousands of 4-year-old boys have never heard that outside these four walls. I want to look at Colossians 2, 6 through 8, and we're done one more time. This verse has changed my life in so many different ways, but it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, if you're saved this morning, hey, walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I think about sitting maybe on a Wednesday night in Brother Kyle's class or Brother Chad's class, Brother Mike's class. I don't know. But man, if you're learning something, this verse says to go tell someone. This verse says to get out there and share it with somebody. It starts with being rooted as individuals, and that way we can be a church rooted in him. If you would all go ahead and stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. We have a huge task to reach Columbus, Ohio. We have a huge task to reach the United States of America and all around our world. And the only way we're going to do it is if we're diligent each and every day to God's word. If we're diligent to just handing off the truths and the power that is found in God's word. Hey, maybe you say, I'm not rooted in Christ like I should be. I don't have a knowledge of God's word like I should. Maybe there's something between me and somebody else here at the church, and it's time to get that thing settled. It's hindering a growth in the church. I don't know how the Lord is leading. At this time, I'm going to let the musicians sing, and then I'll have Brother Chad come and close out the service. But let's do business with the Lord so that we can be a church that's rooted in Jesus Christ.